This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com.
Williams finds DJ Moore. Muscles for more. I like football! I like football!
I like football, too. And I generally like Hard Knocks because episode 3 of Bears Hard Knocks, or I should say Training Camp with the Chicago Bears, is tonight.
So while you were gone, moving child into dorm room, Layla and I had a conversation about Hard Knocks because we were feeling a certain way about the first two episodes, and we were trying to control for our history in the business. Okay. That both of us have worked in television production, and we've been around this Bears team, so we kind of know the stuff going in. So we were like, wait, are we not enjoying this as much because of what it is that we do? Then we took calls on it, and we asked people about Hard Knocks that don't do what we do. And the overwhelming majority of people have been like, I don't know if I would watch this if it wasn't the Bears. Layla, I thought, raised an absolutely excellent point last week when talking about why, for some of us, it might not seem as good.
The stuff that I put on Channel 5 is more interesting. Let's give you an example. Jalen Johnson on Hard Knocks had a very cute answer. Listen to the Hard Knocks version.
Jalen, the top 100 list came out. You didn't make it on there. What do you make of that?
There ain't no way. I don't know how you make Pro Bowl, All Pro, and then not a top 100 guy. That's, I mean, I could have been 101, I guess, but Aaron Rodgers didn't even play in the season. He was voted. So, I mean, hey, everybody made mistakes. It ain't just the media that do it. The players, clearly, if they voted for this, they made some mistakes. But it is what it is. I mean, at the end of the day, I know the truth, and it's okay. I got some more for him.
So that was the Jalen Johnson Hard Knocks version. This is the real version.
There ain't no way. I don't know how you make Pro Bowl, All Pro, and then not a top 100 guy. That's, I mean, I could have been 101, I guess, but Aaron Rodgers didn't even play in the season. He was voted. So, I mean, hey. Everybody made mistakes. It ain't just the media that do it. The players, clearly, if they voted for this, they made some mistakes. But it is what it is. I mean, at the end of the day, I know the truth, and it's okay. I got some more for them.
I gave you the real version, real time. We edited it out on NBC5 and had the bleeps just like you heard it here for free. I can't believe that you want to Bears wash that the way they did. And I'll go a step further. It is an example of how you need to change with the damn times. People understand. It is real. Authenticity is what plays. Just like how you had to get a new quarterback, just like how you had to understand that offense is going to win you championships in the NFL, just like how you had to get different head coaches and different GMs up in here and also a new team president, you're going to have to understand that you can change with the times. And nobody's going to question your integrity because of it. They will when you change it to the example that we just gave you.
Yeah, that. Mm-hmm. What it comes down to is this is the truth. And I think I said this the day after the last episode. If it weren't the Bears, I'd be done. And I want to give it every chance. I want to love it because it's one of the, you know, the football thing to help, you know, get my wife back into football. We like watching it together. I know that Jason's watching it wherever he is. And it's, I'm just over it. Just over it. It's being done fine. You know, we've talked to the producers. We're asking all the questions. But I don't,
I was okay with episode one. I thought that it was very, very much like other episode ones of Hard Knocks. Here are the things that we're kind of setting up. Here are the people that are important, blah, 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 blah. There's not a lot of conflict because everything's happy. Cool. The second episode felt like thumb on the scale. it felt like the Bears are like, so you really wanted us on Hard Knocks, right? I bet you never ask us again to be on Hard Knocks. The montages.
Watch how boring we can be.
Yeah, I think there's an element to that. Like I think I said last week and someone laughed. I think they're tanking Hard Knocks.
So, all right, you want us? Watch what you watch. Hold my beer.
You watch as we sanitize stuff that people hold heard my in real lemonade, time.
Not my beer. We don't drink beer. We don't
swear. We have
swear.
A lemonade stand here at Hallis Hall that we. And just think about it. They could have done the same thing that Layla was talking about with the Jalen Johnson thing. Put the bleeps in there if you're that concerned. And the reason that I think that she's so spot on that, it takes away context of how angry he is about this when you take that stuff out. Now, I know that there have been people at HBO and people at the Bears have been like, no context was lost. We thought it was what was best for the episode. I disagree with him wholeheartedly. I think that Jalen Johnson is smart enough to know that words have meaning. He said what he said. He wanted you to understand that he was upset by this. And it really upset him that it was his peers that did this. And I don't think that it carries the same weight without him using that language. And if you don't want people to hear the language, cool. Just bleep it. Bleeps can be very effective in messaging. And I'm like, first of all, it's HBO.
I also...
just bleep it.
The whole point of Hard Knocks is the grit. To hear them talk like they talk. I stood on those sidelines. I've been in those locker rooms. And football players, and this is a team of choir boys, though, I'll say that. This is a team of really well-behaved, nice, well-raised young men. But that's not how they talk. So you strip away a level of the trust and reality if you don't trust your play. Because they're fine with it.
Like, that's why I go back to Jalen Johnson said what he said. More than most in the league, he understands how to play this part of the game. So he said what he said with intent. And that, to me, that means something. Like, it merits you giving it more than just scrubbing it.
This person's mad. Apparently, people don't agree with you about Hard Knocks. It's the number one show on Max. It has taken out House of Dragons. It's the highest rated Hard Knocks in 5 years. You're being way too sports oriented. It is entertainment, pure and simple. We enjoy it as family entertainment. Don't dig deep. Just enjoy. But it's not good, though.
House of Dragons doesn't have new episodes out.
Yeah, House of Dragons season is over also.
Yeah, and it's also, just because it's entertainment, it doesn't mean it's good.
Right.
Yeah, people are tuning in to see what, just like we're discussing, what this is going to be.
I've watched every Hard Knocks, every of this version, this edition of Hard Knocks, I've watched since the show began. Since the very first show. What is it, 20 years now?
More than that, right? Because wasn't it the 2000 Ravens?
And the profanity is kind of a marking point. The profanity, like I remember when Jason was 8 years old, we would watch Hard Knocks. Unedited. Because that's how they talk. And I say, it's not okay to use these words in school, but this is the words they use. It's how they talk. This is the world.
I am okay with the Bears or HBO bleeping. I'm totally okay with that.
But this isn't bleeping.
But it isn't. Yeah, yeah. It isn't bleeping. And that's where my issue lies. My issue lies is that you change the context of what that man said by sanitizing it. And just because it's entertainment doesn't mean that you can't be critical of it. There are plenty of things that are entertainment that we often talk about and criticize. How about that, though? Stop thinking about it as sports station.
Stick to
entertainment.
Stick
politics.
To something. I'm angry. Stick to something else. Stay in your lane. You're being too sportsy.
It's a sports show.
I'm not criticizing it as a sport. By any sports, through any sports prism at all. it's not like talking about the realism of a film and trying to pretend they're playing football. It's actual football. I'm talking about the quality of the entertainment. Do you think it's interesting? Not really yet.
This texter, you also have to factor in that HBO is now owned by Warner Brothers Disney. Who just gave you Deadpool and Wolverine?
Right. Come on.
And as Pat McAfee saying things live on ESPN.
Not just saying them.
The graphic
itself. How about, think about that. McAfee had a graphic this week that would not have made it on Hard Knocks.
And what he was saying in the segment.
Really?
He dropped that word that was on there because I went back and listened after the show. He dropped the word that was on the graphic 3 times in like 10 seconds.
Also, we need to clarify. It's not Warner Brothers Disney. It's Warner Brothers Discovery.
Discovery, sorry.
No, it's not. It's the texter saying it.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers Discovery. Right. But, yeah, it's fine, I guess. But it really has been the kind of paint-by-numbers perfunctory exercise that we thought. And I'm serious. If it were not the Bears, I would be done. I am watching because it's the Bears.
I still want to watch this week. I want to see, because the thing that I was shocked, I mean, shocked's not the right word, I was a little surprised by, is last week you had the Nate Davis stuff that you could have done as a story, and they didn't. And it was the Bears head coach who was at the podium talking about Nate Davis and the fact that he might lose his job. Now, maybe that's one of those things that ends up on tonight's show because there's been a little bit of a resolution to it. Nate Davis has been back at practice. But that's a big deal for a coach to go, oh, yeah, you can lose your job even if you're injured. That's significant. And it was said publicly.
I guess they're not interested in some of the, that's what I mean. Like, the grittier stuff is what it's about. The hard stories are
the hard knocks
more interesting. Yeah, this has been an easy knocks.
Soft knocks.
Soft knocks. That's what it's been.
But maybe there'll be more game action. There's more Caleb stuff that you can do. That was another thing. Strangely enough, people were like, that's enough Caleb. Last week when we threw it out to the people.
Well, and I think that's because the people that observe the Bears and are fans of the Bears regularly, that's all that we've really talked about. It's the first thing that comes to mind. Everyone's seeing the highlights. Everyone's following the press conferences pretty closely, even if you're just a casual fan. So you watch this and you think, all right, let's get into the other stuff. They got the Caleb stuff in the first episode. It's like, all right, what else is going on? Right?
The ice cream museum is going on.
I thought that was fine. Like, those stories happen on Hard Knocks, too.
It's not a story.
But that sort of thing is not outside of the realm of what we've seen from previous Hard Knocks. It's not. The problem is, it lingered for a long time.
It's like, all right, cute. Where is this going?
And
it's going nowhere.
Nowhere. And the football sequences, there were a lot of them where it's just like, here's slow. What you asked about the view of the ball, the shot of the ball.
Yeah, the famous NFL film spiraling ball from an angle shot.
You had that a lot in episode 2.
Yeah, he gave us the name of the camera person.
It's too much. So let's see. We'll see and we'll review Hard Knocks on tomorrow's show. Layla will be here and she will have a full notebook of thoughts for people.
When we come back, we are going to talk to Jason Benetti. How about that?
Yes. I was like, are you searching for his name?
No, I was searching for my rundown because I forgot what we were doing.
Well, we're going to talk with the Tigers broadcaster.
Well, I remember now.
Because they're playing the Cubs tonight. Remember how we talked about Javier Baez?
Yes.
We can talk with Jason Benetti about that.
Cool.
Next on The Score.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's Odyssey Station.
Ty is always very aggressive.
Javi drills it. Deep left field. Arozarena at the wall. Javi Baez gives the Tigers the lead out of nowhere. The first hit against Munoz since the 4th of July is fireworks at Comerica Park.
He gets excited about the Tigers.
Why not?
I guess one can, when one should. And he gets excited for all when Javier Baez does Javier Baez things. And he will be doing them, perhaps, tonight at Wrigley Field for the first time since he was a Cub. So with the Tigers in town, we like to reach out to broadcasters from other teams.
Yeah, just see what they're about. Maybe get to know them a little bit.
Right, and just say, like, okay, well, who's this person, this longtime baseball voice? And, you know, get a little familiarity. So,
see if maybe we can build a connection. And then, like, the next time that the Cubs or the White Sox were to play the Tigers, we could go, hey, we should get that guy on from Detroit.
The play-by-play announcer for Bally Sports Detroit and Fox Sports is Jason Benetti. And you can find him on Twitter there. And he's with us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino, CircaLasVegas.com. Hello.
I thought Cookie and Wizzo were my favorite clowns, but I changed my tune.
I enjoyed you trying to explain Wizzo to AJ a couple of weeks ago. And AJ was like, what are you talking about? I was like, no, you got to understand what it is. The performance art that was going on the Bozo show.
AJ's default setting is, what are you talking about, Benetti? So it wasn't much of a change from what we normally do. But, that was an entertaining time. I almost, you know, a cast of thousands, all of that. I wanted to get him some Archway cookies, but they weren't available.
Fair. When it comes to this year's Tigers team, you look at the record, 61-64, same as the Cubs. We spend a lot of time talking about the Cubs and their chances and whether this is a positive season. How do the people in Detroit, how do the Detroit folks that run the Tigers feel about where this season is for the Tigers?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's different from fan base to front office, just because, this is going to surprise you, but I jumped on a franchise that hadn't been to the playoffs for 10 years. So, you know, there's some frustration about the direction at that point when you haven't had a winner in 10 seasons. So I get that completely. But as I watch this team, and I don't mean to say this to run contrary to what, you know, the pervading theme of Tigers fans is, because, like, I get that they haven't been to the playoffs in a long time. But this lineup that you're going to see tonight is basically 28 and under. You know, other than Javi Baez and a couple here and theirs, this is a team that now is as close to a full complement of guys that you're going to see in the future as they can have. Riley Green is back. Parker Meadows had the game winner the other night in Williamsport. Tarek Skubal, for my money, is the best pitcher in Major League Baseball. Like, there's a lot of good here. And I wish it would have happened this season. But it's funny, you know, you guys, you mentioned Lawrence. It's the same record as the Cubs. If the Tigers were in the AL West, we'd be like, yeah, you know, kind of outside shot of possibly doing this thing. Because it's amazing that nobody has a 600 winning percentage in Major League Baseball. So you're a couple wins away from being a real viable, hey, maybe sort of team. They're not this year, but I do think the upward trend is palpable and true. I really like the direction they're going.
I'm glad you mentioned what a weird year it's been in the major leagues. And with incredibly, scoring in the middle of the summer, in the supposed dog days of August, the lazy, crazy days of summer, hitting is down and scoring is down. And you mentioning that there really aren't, we're not looking at some great teams. I know we have one awful team, but it's just a weird year. Is this a a league in transition? Are we still having some aftershocks of rules changes? Is this a development thing? What's happening overall?
Personally, I think it's a number of factors. I think it's the rule changes still trickling down into front office decision making. Like, it takes a little while to contour your roster to whatever the rules changes are. I still think, you know, what Major League Baseball wanted in part, not explicitly, but what they wanted in part was less of a homogeneity in decision making. So, you know, it was like hit a bunch of home runs, win the game. That's still true. If you can hit a bunch of home runs, you're probably going to win the game, and maybe more true than it used to be, but home runs are more scarce. So I also think, like, part of this is every team that I've been around recently, and I had Dodgers Cardinals Saturday, I had Orioles Rays the Saturday before, I've got Phillies Braves on Thursday. Every fan base that has a winning team right now is like, but what's our rotation going to be like? Or what's our bullpen going to be like? Have we overtaxed our bullpen? So I do think, you know, bullpens are getting to the point of the season where a lot of people are talking about being overtaxed, but we still haven't seen the offense necessarily follow that. I think part of it also is like teams still figuring out what to do with pitchers third time through. And that's why Jesse Rogers' article on ESPN.com the other day was interesting, that those rumblings are starting.
Oh, that's insane, though. The six inning rule.
No, I know.
It's absolutely bat spit crazy.
I don't disagree in some regard. I like the double hook. I think you can make a really strong argument for the double hook, and you can keep the guy in for as long as possible. And for those that don't know, it's where you attach the DH's feasibility, viability to the starting pitcher being in the game at the time. Then you can make your own decision. If you want him to go four and you want to keep your pitcher healthy and whatever that looks like, then you lose the DH. I think there's a better argument for that. But to your question about offense being down, I just think it's like evil pitcher laboratories as well, and pitch design becoming so sophisticated that there's no counterbalance to that on the hitting side. You can't go design a different bat. You know, you there's a limited amount you can do as a hitter when pitch design is getting so nuanced and sophisticated.
Is that what's bitten Javier Baez? I mean, the guy was nearly a six WAR player in 2018, 5.5 wins in 2019, as recently as 2021, 4.1. And his WRC plus the last 3 years, 89, 62, and now down to 43. Is part of this a continued inability to hit hard, good breaking stuff that now everybody throws?
I think so. I think that would be probably the main culprit. It's interesting. If you go back and watch the sequence that led to the home run that we just came in with, the homer last week that ended up in a final at bat victory against whoever that was that the Tigers were playing. I actually don't recall, which is probably a problem for me. But it was Andres Munoz. Oh, it was the Mariners. Andres Munoz threw breaking ball away into the other batter's box. Breaking ball away into the other batter's box. Then, because there was a runner at third, and that would have been a tying run, he got a little tense, I think, about throwing one away. He spun one to the outer third of the plate that was a strike, and Javi killed it. If you took away breaking balls out of the zone, I think you'd double his WRC plus and then some. Yes, the answer is yes, but that sequence specifically is of interest as you watch the game tonight, because if there's a situation where a pitcher is worried about a wild pitch, that raises the possibility that he's going to do damage, which when he does make contact, there still is damage in that bat. It's true.
What's the experience in Detroit been like? Like, what's your booth like? How are you getting along with, like, sight lines? And what are the things that you like about being up there?
Yeah, I love Comerica Park. There have been some big days with really huge crowds when the Dodgers were in and the Tigers walked them off back-to-back days right before the All-Star break. It was awesome. It was just one of those like thunderous drumbeat sort of days that you get really excited about to call. I've been fortunate to have some really great partners in the booth, like Dan Petrie's doing this series, and he very well could be the nicest human being in all of America. Kirk Gibson, you know, deals with health challenges, but he's really sharp and really astute. And he like wakes up at 4 a.m. to go play golf, even with Parkinson's. And I respect the heck out of that. They've mixed in Andy Dirks and Alex Avila recently. So Alex and I have had like 2016 White Sox reunion vibes, which is hilarious and fun and all sorts of shenanigans. A lot of Todd Frazier chatter. Hey, big dog. How you doing, big dog? What's up? It's been a rotating cast, but it's been great.
How about your own life figuring this all out and figuring out? I know you live out of a suitcase anyway, regardless of where you are, but what about as a Detroit resident?
You could just call me and ask if I'm okay. It's been great. Honestly, it's been great. The team helped me with housing for the year. We talked about it. They took care of my housing for the year. So I actually am living in the visiting team hotel for the season.
Nice, you got the Rick Majerus thing going on.
Don't. It's I prefer to imagine it as Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone 2.
Or Eloise in the Plaza. Any one of them works.
Yeah, right. One cheese pizza, please.
That sounds amazing. Like, I've become a fan of downtown Detroit. I like going there. It's fun. There's an energy to it. I think that people have pigeonholed, and I actually think Jason can relate, you know, because of things that people say about 35th and Shields in the South Side, that when was the last time you were there? Like, and that's how I feel when people talk about Detroit. When was the last time you were in downtown Detroit? Because the last time I was in downtown Detroit, I had a hell of a time.
No, it's great. The draft, I think, was one of those seminal moments, like a turning point for Detroit. You know, April was great. There, just a sea of people, and everybody wanted to be there. There's some great restaurants that have popped up. Like, I've looked at places downtown to park myself downtown in Detroit. That's where I'm looking right now. So, you know, I love it there. I love the idea of a city rejuvenated. You can sense it. If you've never been for a Tigers home opener, it is a totally different experience than anything I've ever seen in baseball. It feels like an NFL playoff game. Like, I walked through the park, the Grand Circus Park right by Comerica, and it was truly remarkable to see the level of energy and care for opening day. It's a holiday. And I just love the idea of a city coming back at the same time that all of these really young players are growing into Tigers. So I'm really excited about life there. I'm excited about everything that goes into it. And, you know, the one piece of it is, until a city sees a winner, they're not going to believe that the winner is going to happen until it's right in front of them. And I don't blame anybody for that. But you'll see in this series, like, A.J. Hinch is a really smart guy. I think he's one of the best managers in baseball, if not the best. Scott Harris knows what he's doing to build something. He worked under Theo here. Like, you'll see. This is not a team that plays like it's out of the playoff race. And the pitching, like, you'll see all series, they're going to do a couple of openers and then have both guys behind. And it has worked really well. The opener days have had better ERA days than regular starting pitchers over the last year plus for the Tigers, dating back to 23. So there's innovation. It's all good. It's all moving upward to me.
Have you met Lomas Brown yet?
I have not.
Okay, because when we had Lomas Brown on, we told him that he needed to come find you.
Yes.
And that, because we think that the two of you would make like the best buddy cop movie ever.
Like DeVito and Schwarzenegger in Twins?
Yeah. I was thinking more like Master Blaster in the third Road Warrior movie.
But like, yeah. Like, we love Lomas, and like, we have such a good time, and we're like, wait a minute, like, we should introduce him to Benetti. Like, Benetti needs guys up there in Detroit to make sure that he's all right. And so we were like, we need you to go to a Tigers game and meet our friend Jason Benetti. And he was like, I've heard really good things about that guy. I heard that he's really awesome. I was like, we want you guys in a buddy cop movie together. So when you see Lomas Brown, let's put that together.
Or it's going to be in the old-fashioned motorcycle with the sidecar, and he's driving, uh-huh. And you sit in the sidecar, and you've got like the World War I flying goggles on and a big white scarf.
Yeah. That's what I was picturing too, sort of the Snoopy Red Baron sort of thing.
Yes.
Situation going on, or like the Rocketeer.
That works.
I just so you know, I have you guys as equal partners. Dan seems to want to make this an unequal partnership.
Have you seen Lomas Brown?
I have.
Okay.
And I've also seen Jason Benetti.
Okay.
So I have it as an equal partnership.
One of us is an offensive lineman. The other
is Lomas Brown.
I just like the idea. I like the idea of us doing like a series of videos like I used to do with Hummel for Bad Basketball, where Lomas Brown teaches people how to pancake somebody.
Yeah, it'd be like Tim Conway Dorf on golf at that point.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, this texter here says, who's this Benetti guy? He's kind of funny and he seems to know baseball.
I don't know. I don't know who he is.
I don't know. We're just like introducing people to broadcasters.
Yeah,
it's good.
It's good for us to get to know broadcasters who work in other cities.
Yeah, I think it's good practice on our part as a local radio show. All right, man. Be well. Thank you.
Thanks. That was fun. Bye.
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 That's Jason Benetti, the voice of the Detroit Tigers.
Gotta get Lomas in there, man.
I know.
Gotta get him in there. They could just hang out.
It'd be so much fun.
I would. You talk about Hard Knocks. I'd watch that.
The Benetti and Brown show?
Yeah.
It's even a good name for a cop show.
Yes.
Benetti and Brown. Rizzoli and Isles.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
I like the idea.
Hanging and Lacey.
Just put a camera, like have those guys meet, have someone videotape it. I'd watch 30 minutes of that.
Or like Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. Just have them go out for a corned beef sandwich or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coney dog, right? Wouldn't that be the thing you do in Detroit? Wouldn't that be the Detroit thing to do?
Or Detroit-style pizza?
I like Detroit-style pizza.
It's fine.
It's fine. There's nothing wrong with it.
Hey, baseball fans, come out to Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo Thursday from 4 to 5:30 p.m. for an appearance with Ozzy Guillen and 670 The Score. Ozzy will be doing a meet and greet in the sportsbook area and mingling poolside.
Hell yeah.
So be ready to talk baseball.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.